Good morning, and welcome to everyone who's worshipping with us here in Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland in front of me, and also to those who are joining us on Zoom. I would also like to welcome those who are listening to the recording of the service that will be posted onto our website later today. However you are joining us today, I hope you will be touched by the Word of God. Our minister Amos has been attending the General Assembly this past week, all conducted online, and has taken this Sunday off following several long days of discussions. It has fallen on the worship team to conduct the services this morning. As most of you will be aware, we have been trialling a few new technical things in the past few weeks, where the opening part of the service has been broadcast live from the church onto Zoom. This has allowed us to be able to worship together and for our Zoomers to feel part of the church service. Today we are taking a step further, with most of the service being broadcast live from the church and also with the addition of bringing Zoom into the church. All being well, we will have Catherine Merrilies taking our prayers via Zoom, which will be projected onto the wall into the church for those to see and hear. It is certainly going to be an exciting morning. So our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. As we prepare for our first hymn, I do bring a glimmer of good news. The Scottish Government has recently announced that from Monday, the 31st of May 2021, congregational singing can resume for those in areas in levels 1 and 0. Whilst this will certainly only apply for a few areas such as the islands, it means that other areas can prepare for the proposed move to level 1 for the majority of Scotland on the 7th of June 2021. Face coverings must still be worn by those singing, but I'm sure you'll agree that this is a huge step forward to help with our worship. However, we are not quite there yet, so we must still refrain from singing for the time being, although humming is acceptable. So if you are able, please do stand for the hymns and stretch your legs while we listen to Hannah's playing and reflect on the words. Our first hymn this morning is God the Father of Creation.
Thank you. Let us come to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, you are greater than our highest thoughts, defying full expression, and ultimately beyond our limited understanding. Yet through Jesus, you have given us a glimpse of your glory. We recall how he spoke to you as Father, not just his, but ours, a Father watching over us from on high. We remember how he spoke to you as a friend, there beside him, as you are here with us, by our side, through thick and thin. We rejoice that he faithfully followed the prompting of your Spirit, opening the way for us to experience your living presence, vitally real within our hearts, deepening our faith and enriching our lives. Eternal God, help us to recognize that to see Jesus is to see you, that to receive his Spirit is to know your power, that to respond to his call is to be touched by your love, for you are three in one and one in three. Open our hearts to your awesome presence and to all the ways you reveal your grace, so that we may honor you this day and always. As Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, we don't like being wrong. It hurts our pride and goes against the grain to admit we've made a mistake. We prefer to blame somebody else, to look for and excuse ourselves, justifying our own actions, even though the only one we may fool is ourselves, because we can never fool you. Forgive us, Lord, for those times we have shifted the blame onto others. Forgive us for hiding behind falsehoods and half-truths, letting excuses become so much part of us that we no longer realize we're making them. Teach us to act wisely and with integrity. And when we go wrong, give us courage to admit it and humility to accept us on your unfailing mercy and grace. Help us to see you, Lord, in all your glory, rather than the single dimension we all too easily reduce you to. Help us to glimpse you as Father, providing, guiding, caring for us each day, to see you as Son, sharing our humanity and walking this earth with us, to experience you as Spirit, prompting, comforting, teaching, and equipping. Give us a fuller picture of who and what you are, and an awareness that no dimension or measure can finally contain the wonder of it all. And let us pray together our family prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now let us join together again to sing our next hymn, Love is the Touch of Intangible Glory.
Do you recognise the name Sara Mendes da Costa? Many of you will have heard her voice. Sara's voice was heard more than 30 million times a day. This equates to over 20,800 times each minute of the day. Sara Mendes da Costa was the voice behind those special words, "At the third stroke, the time will be precisely." In 2007, Sara Mendes da Costa won the race to become the voice of the UK's speaking clock. Dial 123 from a landline phone and be charged 31 pence, and you would have heard her voice telling you the accurate time. Da Costa is only one of four people to be the permanent voice of the speaking clock, beating over 18,400 other entrants in a Children in Need competition to find the new voice. Her voice, for many, brings authority. The unquestioned accuracy of the speaking clock led to Accurist Watches sponsoring the announcements from March 1986 until August 2008. With millions of calls a year, this may well have been the most frequently heard advertising message of all times. People across the country set their watches by Sara Mendes da Costa's authoritative voice. Even the bongs to mark the start of the national ITV news at 10 are set according to the speaking clock. Interestingly, the current voice of the speaking clock is a retired civil servant from Dundee. Alan Steadman is the first Scottish voice and the first non-English voice chosen for this role. In Psalm 29, where our call to worship was taken from, it is the voice of God that is heard with startling authority as it sweeps through the land and over all aspects of nature. The voice of the Lord is over the waters, the God of glory thunders. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare. Some scholars suggest that there is evidence that this particular psalm may have originally been a song of praise to Baal, the storm god, before being refashioned by the Israelites into a song about Yahweh. Whatever the origins of this song of praise, it is a wonderful meditation on the splendor of God's voice as it speaks across and through creation. The voice of the Lord is repeated some seven times throughout this psalm. Seven is the number of perfection, and so Psalm 29 portrays the sevenfold glory of the voice of the Lord. The psalmist surveys the whole of creation, land, sea, and sky, and wherever he turns, he witnesses the power of God's word. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks. What a powerful and poetic celebration of God's word. This is why we can sing with the psalmist, "Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength," verse 1. This is why all in his temple cry, "Glory," verse 9. We capture glimpses of this glory as Jesus walks on water and as he stills the angry sea. We hear this voice afresh when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead and cast out demons. We hear it again when the risen and ascended Lord declares, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." Revelation 1, verses 17 and 18. Indeed, the full weight of the glory of God's voice is heard in the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. His voice became enfleshed in Jesus Christ. In him, God's voice is fully revealed and heard. The psalm ends, "The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as King forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace." With all the chaos and frightening display around the people, the Creator was still in control. His strength can do such powerful things for all to see, but he will give strength and protection to his people. With storms often all around us, we can still have his peace that surpasses all the world's understanding. He is a great God. He is our God. We have no reason to fear. He is always in control. Where do we see God? Where do we hear God? Does that voice still have authority in the lives of those who believe, the life of the church, the life of the communities? Amen. Again, if you are able, please stand as we listen and reflect on our next hymn this morning, God is Love.
Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, reading verses 1 to 8. Isaiah's commission. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, "Holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." And our second reading comes from the book of St. John, chapter 3, reading verses 1 to 18. Chapter 3. Jesus teaches Nicodemus. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit gives birth to flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it was everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Amen. And may God add his blessings to these readings of his holy word. We'll now have the hymn, "I, the Lord of Sea and Sky."
When preparing for this morning's service, there were four lectionary readings to choose from: Isaiah 6, Psalm 29, John 3, and Romans 8. I used Psalm 29 for the call to worship and the basis for my first talk. And within two of the other readings are two classic biblical verses, which could easily be repeated by many of you, I'm sure. The first is Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And the second is John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." There were so many options of where I could have taken this talk, and yes, I will get to the point shortly. Do I speak about God's calling, as in the Isaiah passage? His calling me to the church, to be an elder, to lead worship? How sometimes we think we know the path that God is leading us down in life, only for him to swerve us off onto another. Do I speak about trust? And even when we cannot see God and see what is coming, we need to trust in him. I decided not today. But the hymn we just heard Hannah play, "I, the Lord of Sea and Sky," was one of the hymns during my ordination as an elder to the church. So there is a little connection there. Do I use John 3:16 and use the theme of love? My love of music or dancing or my new love of walking? For those not aware, I am currently doing a walking challenge of virtually walking from Land's End to John O'Groats, which is 1,083.8 miles in 100 days. I'm on day 30 and I have covered 325 miles so far. So we're getting there. I could speak about God's love for us and how he loves each and every one of us, how he will forgive us all our wrongs, how he will always be there, even when we lose our way. But I decided not today. Do I go completely off-piste and talk about our friendly oyster catcher, nicknamed Ozzy, who is nesting on the flat roof of our house for the second year now and likes to loudly tap his beak on our living room windows at various random points during the day, any time from 5-something a.m. through till 9-something p.m. He can be a friendly but cheeky distraction or a very annoying pain in the neck. I could speak about creation and all God's creatures of the earth, or the trials and tribulations we face, endure, and go through on the path that God has set out for us. Or I could speak about how I got my blue envelope yesterday and how I now have a date for my first COVID jab. It's been a long time coming, but I guess that's one of the joys of being young. I could speak about the caring hands of those around us, friends, family, medical staff, those who pick us up when we're down, those who help us when we are ill, those who are there for us regardless, or the caring embrace that God surrounds us with. I decided not today. Today is Trinity Sunday, so I thought I would base my talk on that. I could speak about what Trinity Sunday or Trinity actually is, or Trinity at work, but instead I have decided to take the theme of Trinity and explore it more reflectively through a sequence of stories. I will take a small handful of well-known images that will quickly remind us of stories in the Bible, and through them we can celebrate and affirm some of the many faces of God. Each verse describes a different part of the Trinity, and each story has a symbol. Breath. In the beginning time, I took breath, and on my breath, supernovas and galaxies spilled into being. Light cascaded and life began. I am spirit, the inspiration. Bread. In the sharing time, I took bread, and among the first of my followers, I broke it and shared the promise of heaven with them all. I am Saviour, the bread of life. chain. In the ancient time, and among the flames that never consumed, I announced my desire of liberty for those in captivity. I am Creator, the freedom giver. Matches. In the renewing time, I took a community, and with tongues of fire, I called them into new life and birthed the church. I am Spirit, the energy. Stone. In the morning time, I took a stone, and as dawn broke, rolled it, and walked alive into resurrected life. I am Saviour, the Alpha and Omega. Clock. In all time yet to be, I take what you long to be, and in those dreams plant seeds of hope and let them grow. I am Creator, the hope bringer. I am Spirit. I am Saviour. I am Creator. We are Trinity. Amen. And we will now have a few moments for meditation on these thoughts, accompanied by some music from Hannah.
Let us pray. You have poured out your blessings upon us day after day. You have filled us with good things so that they have overflowed with plenty. Lord, you have met our needs and more than our needs, giving us a world of infinite variety and pleasure. Receive now these gifts. Receive our worship. Receive our faith. Receive our money. For we bring them to you as a small but simple way of saying thank you for all that you have done in Christ. In we pray. Amen. And now, we'll join together in lifting to the Lord our prayers for others. This prayer has a response, if you wish to join it, The bidding is risen, Lord, and the response is bring hope and new beginnings. Let us pray. Suffering Saviour, broken for all, we bring you our fractured world, scarred by so many gaping wounds. We pray for the hungry and homeless, victims of famine, disaster, war, and oppression, denied not just the bare essentials of life, but also the resources and opportunity to work for change. Risen Lord, bring hope and new beginnings. We pray for those who are sick or suffering, those wrestling with illness or disease, particularly in this time of COVID, which has affected so many. People who are disabled in their bodies or in their minds, and those who may be coming to terms with the prospect of their own death or that of a loved one. Risen Lord, bring hope and new beginnings. We pray for those who are sad and grieving, those hurt by the betrayal of relationships, those whose dreams and longings have been shattered by the lockdown or by other things that happen in life, those mourning loved ones, those grieving in their hearts. Risen Lord, bring hope and new beginnings. We pray for all whose lives have been blighted by evil, victims of violence, war and terrorism, of crime and corruption, of physical, sexual or verbal abuse. Risen Lord, bring hope and new beginnings. We pray for communities and societies as a whole, wracked by tension and division, torn by prejudice and discrimination, disfigured by fear and mistrust. Lord, we pray for wisdom for our leaders, wisdom for our church leaders at the General Assembly, and for our political leaders in Holyrood and Westminster. Risen Lord, bring hope and new beginnings. We pray for this beautiful planet that you have given as a gift in trust to us. It seems so solid and secure, but we have seen the damages that we have caused, that it is actually vulnerable to the things that we do when we plunder and abuse the resource you've given us. Risen Lord, bring hope and new beginnings. Suffering Saviour, where we see problems to which there's solutions, to which there seem few answers, reach out and bring wholeness and healing, the opportunity to learn from the past and to build for the future. Risen Lord, bring hope and new beginnings, for it is in your name that we ask this. Amen. And please join for our final hymn. Feel free to stand up and hum along, or if you're on Zoom, you can actually sing. Our next hymn, our final hymn, Eternal Father, Strong to Save.
As we walk onward with God, three in one, may we be called once more to faith by our Rock and Redeemer, God the Father, sent again to meet the need of the world through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus the Son, and inspired anew by the gusting winds of our restless provoker, the Holy Spirit. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon each one of us and everyone whom we love this day and forevermore.